Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to try to cover one more verse tonight. Hebrews 13. So, all right. So verse 1, it says, let brotherly love continue. Verse 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Verse 3, remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourself also in the body. So if you remember where we are, the theme of the book of Hebrews is, I believe, Jesus is better. And how that is played out is he's telling the persecuted Hebrews, the Jews that are scattered abroad, that have been chased out of their homes and all those things. He has established the superiority of Jesus Christ, the new covenant. He showed how it's better and they don't need Judaism. And it's time to fully embrace Christ. And so now, after laying all that foundation, he turns to practical Christian living in Hebrews 13. I was explaining this to a gentleman the other day. I led to the Lord a while back. And I said the difference between religion and Christianity is this. Religion is you do this, do this, do this, and hopefully God will owe you enough that he'll have to give his billfold out when you get to the judgment and give you a ticket to heaven. Because you earned it. Yeah, I didn't really think you were going to do it, but I have to hand it to you. And I said, but God will never owe anybody anything. I said, Christianity is such where you are bankrupt, you've messed up, you have no hope, and Jesus says, I will pay for it for you, I will give you my righteousness, and you receive your identity, you receive your righteousness from the Lord, and you work from that, and not to salvation, but you're working from that. And so after establish all that, here's some practical things you need to do in your Christian life, some practical ways to live it out, some practical ways to embody what Jesus wants you to be. Okay? And so last week we went over let brotherly love continue, and we went through that in detail, all the things that God wants us to continue in. And then he says this after verse 2, 1, let brotherly love continue. He says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Now, one thing that is very clear in the Bible in the Christian life is God prioritizes what you're supposed to prioritize. You don't have to figure it out. He does it for you. And so, by the way, I forgot my belt tonight, so I'm really embarrassed. So if I stay behind the pulpit, it's because I forgot my belt. When I was in college, there was a guy that never wore a belt. And I always looked at him like, why don't you have a belt on? Now I don't have one. And all I can think about is that moment. Anyway, so what the Lord does, but here's something that will help you. Or at least it's helped me. Duties never conflict. Duties never conflict. So I'm a pastor, and if I'm getting ready to go to church and my son breaks his leg, I'm not coming to church. I'm taking him to the hospital. Okay? Because duties never conflict. Now, what are our duties? What are our priorities? Well, number one, it's God. Okay? The Bible says in Luke 14, God is even over family. So Luke 14, 25, I'll just read a couple of these verses. You don't have to turn there. Great multitudes followed him, Jesus, and he turned and said unto him, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, the word hate there is obviously not like I abhor you, but I choose God over mom and dad. I choose God over my children, over my brothers. It's easy to choose God over your sisters. No. Okay? But even over my own life. And a lot of people, they won't do that. They won't put God first. They put themselves first. And so God is just a means to an end. So in duties never conflict, your first duty is to God. You have to choose Him first. The next duty you have as a Christian is to your family. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5, in verse 3, it says, honor widows that are widows indeed. And it says, if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to shew piety at home and requite their parents. He said, it is the duty of children to take care of their aged mother. And so the church is not charged. Before the church takes on the care of the widow, if she has any children or nephews, that is their responsibility to take care of them. And he said, for it is good and acceptable before God. Okay, and then he says in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, if any provide not for his own, especially those for his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Okay? I want you to see this in Mark chapter 7. If you'll look Mark chapter 7, the Lord talks about this in this context as well. So our first duty is to God. Our next duty is to our family. Okay? And it says, Mark chapter 7 and verse 10, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he said, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. Okay, so what does that mean? To honor your father and mother. Well, according to Jesus, one of the ways that we do this is the rest of this verse. Whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. Verse 11, but if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is corven, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever thou mayest be profited by me, he shall be free. So what the Jews were doing is instead of taking their resources and taking care of mom and dad, they were giving it to the church and saying, hey, it's a gift. And then their mom and dad would die, and then the rabbi or whatever would give part of it back to them. So they could be profited that way, and they could be released from the accountability to take care of their parents. So your parents, according to God, to honor your father and mother, they took care of you and changed your diapers. So when the time comes, you need to change their diapers. That's true. Okay? There was a time when they fed you. And there's going to time come, if they live long enough, where you're going to need to feed them. And that is part of what the Bible says is honoring them and your responsibility. And he says, and you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition. So part of that honoring is to care for them. All right? Now what is your next responsibility? Look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. So we have God, we have our parents, our family, our children, we're to provide for them. And then your next responsibility, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, it says this, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Your next responsibility is to the church and your brothers and sisters in Christ. There's many people that they will not serve in church, but they'll go stand on a street corner holding a sign, yelling at people, which is good. I'm not saying that's a bad thing to do. Or they'll say their ministry is to the lost, and they go out and evangelize, which is a good thing to do, and all of us should do that. But they will not serve at church. They will not help with their brothers and sisters in Christ. And God said, look, it's family first. It's me first. It's your family, your mom and dad, you need to take care of them. And then you need to take care of the church family first before you're obligated to other people. Okay? Remember when Jesus came? What did it say? I have come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It was to the Jew first. Remember the apostles, they went to the Jews first, and then Paul said, you know what? You guys don't want it. I'm going to the Gentiles. And so that pattern is there in the Bible. Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. Okay? Duties never conflict. So after, you guys notice that too? I feel like there's a flashing going on. Duties never conflict. So after that, what did the Bible say in verse 1? Let brotherly love continue. This is why I'm saying this. I said all of that to say this. The first, let brotherly love continue. You love your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's your one thing. Number two, he says this. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Okay? So, strangers, the word strangers in the Bible is used to refer to outsiders. Actually, if you want to write this reference down, Acts 17:21, it said, for the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but to either tell or hear some new thing. But look at this one. Here's a good one. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. Ephesians 2:12 and Ephesians 2:19. Okay? Ephesians 2:12. When you get there, say amen. Okay. At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. And what is the next word? Strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So in that context, the word stranger is somebody that is outside of the body of Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God. So sometimes in the scripture, the word stranger is to talk to about somebody that is outside of the body of Christ. They're an outsider. But it can also be used in this way. Look at Hebrews 11 and verse 13. We're in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11 and verse 13. Okay? He says here, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded them and embraced them and confessed that they were, what? Strangers and pilgrims in the earth. And then 1 Peter 1:1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers, so those are Christians scattered throughout. 1 Peter 2:11, beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Acts 13:17, the God of this people and Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people wherein they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. So I think if we put all that together, strangers is just somebody that is outside. They're disconnected. It can definitely say they're outside of the church, they're lost. Or it can be somebody that is outside of the world, they're strangers to the world. Okay? But he says here, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So what is this? This is hospitality. He said, let brotherly love continue, but don't forget to entertain strangers. Let me ask you this. Have you forgotten to entertain strangers? Have I forgotten to entertain strangers? And the word entertain here is not like doing magic tricks for them, okay? It's hospitality. Strangers, the word entertain there for strangers, it's philoexos, which means fond of guests. somebody that's hospitality. It's a lover of hospitality. They love giving to people. They love helping people. Okay? Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. And I want to tell you this, that God works through hospitality. And Paul said, that's one of the first things he said, practical Christianity. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget. Do not forget to entertain strangers. And some of you are already cringing. Okay? Well, it's going to get a whole lot worse. So it's okay. All right? But look, it says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourself, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Sometimes they're going to come in without deodorant. And it says this, use hospitality one with another without grudging. Use hospitality. Fond of guests. It describes somebody that is welcoming and generous to guests, even if they don't know them well. He said, don't be grudging about it. Don't only do this for the people that you like. Okay? Romans chapter 12 and verse 13. It says this. Practical Christianity here as well. It says, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. You know, in our country, it's hard to find somebody that has genuine needs. You know? Unfortunately, the government has taken over a lot of the hospitality that should have been delegated to the church. And so now you have welfare, you have housing, you have all of these other things. And most of the times when people need things, it's because in our country, this is the way it works. And remember, this is not judgmental. The Bible says that the righteous considers the cause of the poor and he needs to know why they're poor. Okay? But a lot of times what you'll see if you go to the ATB, you know, depending on what area, you'll see somebody and their cart is like full of groceries. And you think, I do not have any idea how they can afford all these groceries. They're so expensive. And they pull out this magic thing called a Lone Star card. And I want to get one, but I can't get one. So, a Lone Star card. And they pay for it. And when they're done paying for the groceries, they put their beer with one of those things where they put and they separate the piles, you know? Then they have the beer, the carton of cigarettes, and you know what they do? They pay for that with cash. You know? And that is one of the things that has messed up hospitality in these things in the United States. So, but you need to, God wants you to distribute to the necessity of the saints. You know, duty's never conflict. Your first responsibility is to God, to give to the Lord, and that's how the Lord has set that up. We've went through that before. But you should be a generous person. You should have in your budget somewhere at $5 at least, 5 cents, somewhere. It depends on where you're at. You should have some money in the budget where you can hand to somebody that needs something at times. My dad says, I give to the poor. Poor Ezekiel. He was talking about himself. And he said, I'm poor, so I give to the poor. I just give to myself. And I said, Dad, I don't really think that's what that's talking about. Okay? He said, look, you have your own interpretation. I have mine. But the Bible, why is this? Look at Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 34. Leviticus 19 and verse 34. He says this. And this is the heart of God about this. Leviticus 19:34. The stranger that dwelleth with you shall be as unto you as one born among you. and thou shalt love him as thyself. Why? For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. He said, you love him like you love somebody that was born among you? Why? Because you were one time strangers in the land of Egypt. Okay? Now, here's the thing. You know what's happening at our border? Strangers are coming in. Millions and millions of them. And Brother Venny's giving them a free cell phone when they get there. And he's giving them a free plane ticket to go wherever they want, to a city near you. And he's paying for their hotel room. No, he's not doing that, okay? And you know what Americans are doing? I hate them. Yeah, I understand that those are not good politics for our country. But unless you embrace the ones that are here, and you love them, and you try to get the gospel to them, and you try to help them, if you do that, you can help our whole country out. And in my neighborhood, there's a lot of strangers that move in, because strangers can afford nice places to live. Okay, I don't know how, but they do. And so they come in, and you know what? The people that have been there for a long time says, our neighborhood's going downhill, these. And they complain and complain and complain. And I say to them, so why don't you just have them over for dinner? Why don't you befriend them? I would never do that. I said, okay, well, I do that. Come on over. And you talk to them and you help them and you can minister to them. And you know what? God said, why do you do that? He said, I'll tell you why, because I am the Lord. I mean, is there any more authority for that? Why do you do it? He said, because I am the Lord your God. Because I said so. Now shut up and do it. And so, look at Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand. And he's talking about the judgment of nations, okay? Come in, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Okay, why is he saying this? Look at the next verse. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. This is the king. This is God saying this from the throne. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. If you want to be a blessing to someone, go to the hospital and visit them when they're sick. This is not the pastor's job. This is a Christian's job. Okay? I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him and say, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered or and fed thee and thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in or naked and clothed thee? When saw we sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king, do you want to hear these words? Because you can. The king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, in so much as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. You know what you could do? When you see the need, you can hand something to them and you can say this in your heart. Here you go, Lord. This is for you because I love you. This is because I love you, Lord. I'm giving this to you. And he'll never forget that. Be not forgetful, back to Hebrews 13 and verse 2, to entertain strangers. Have you forgotten? For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Who is this written to? The persecuted, suffering Hebrews who were driven for their home. Be hospitable. If they can do it, guess what? You can do it. My dad was, he was a hospitable man. I learned it from him. And here's what he would say. Come on in. You want something to eat? Can I get you something to eat? And then he'd go to all of our dumpster food and give them some food. He wouldn't even tell them where it came from. Here's some food. You know, you want something? Hey, and my mom's name was Betsy. Hey, Betsy, can you put on some coffee? Make him some coffee. He loved good coffee. And he'd cook it up and he'd talk to him. And it was just growing up as a child and listening to my dad talk to people that would come in. My mom would cook for him. It wasn't always from the dumpster. Some of you guys are still upset about that. I'm not, okay? They're still alive. They died for other reasons. They were perfectly safe, okay? I'm not advocating that you do that. Don't be upset. It's okay. But he would come in and just sitting around and watching that and seeing that, you know? And I don't do this because I have children, but my dad would always pick up hitchhikers, you know? And he'd say, son, go sit in the back. Somebody's going to ride with us. I said, who? He said, him. And he'd pull over, pick him up. And he'd start talking to him about the Lord all the way. And sometimes they would say, can you let me out? Can you please let me out? One time my dad, he brought this guy home that was dying. And he said, hey, put a mattress in the living room. And so we put the mattress in the living room. And he said, hey, you can lay there. And he said, this is Howard, and he needs a place to die. And he had AIDS. He was dying of AIDS in our living room. And so you'd walk out, and there's Howard dying. And I said, Dad, what are you doing? He said, do you want to die outside? Some people need a place to die. Okay? And we're going to be here, and we're going to provide a place for him to die. And I don't know. It was just, to me, growing up, that was a blessing, that kind of a lifestyle. But you know what the Lord said? He said, don't forget. But look at this. He said, because you've entertained angels unawares. Do you know that if you will not entertain strangers, you're refusing a blessing from God? You're refusing a blessing. And so we don't have a lot of time, but I'll talk to you about a couple about these. Here's Abraham. And he's sitting in his tent. And you know what happened next? Hey, I see three men. And they're walking up. And he said, come on in, sit down. Hey, get some water and wash these men's feet. He said, Sarah, can you go kill the kid? Go kill a goat. Go kill a goat and dress it. Come on, my wife's going to make some food for you. You guys just sit there and relax for a second. And then they kill the animal. They butcher. How long does that take? If you're good at it, I mean, I can probably field dress a deer in maybe 10 minutes. It probably takes me 30 minutes to quarter a deer. If I'm really fast and got really sharp knives. And then they do it, and then they start roasting it. And then Abraham, you know what he does? He gets the platter, and he's standing over here. He serves them, and he's just standing there. This is Abraham serving them. And they say, hey, where's Sarah? And he said, in the tent, where she's supposed to be. No, I'm just kidding. Okay? He said, she's in the tent. And he said, well, I'm going to come back according to the time of life, and she's going to have a kid. You are going to come back? Yeah. And that's when Abraham figured out that one of those was the Lord himself. And what was the blessing he got from that? Isaac? Then he goes out and he said, hey, yeah, you're going to have a kid, but also Sodom's going to burn. And so then they have that conversation. And then the Lord left. And the two men walked on. And they walked into a city named Sodom. And there was a man there that saw them walk into the city, and his name was Lot. And you know what Lot said to them? Hey, come on over to my house. You can stay with me. He didn't know they were angels. He said, come on in. And they're like, no, come on. And as they're there and they're eating, the men of Sodom come and they attack the house, and they said, send those guys out, you know, because you know the story, okay? And send those guys out. And then Lot's out there trying to negotiate with these San Franciscans, and it didn't work out. And the men pulled Lot back in and blinded all of the men. And that's when he knew that they were angels. And you know what they did? They delivered Lot. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, because sometimes you've entertained angels unawares. And Abraham got a blessing and Lot got a blessing. Here's another one. Remember Manoah, Samson's mom and dad? In the book of Judges? One time the angel shows up to his wife and said, you're going to have a kid. And she's like, whoa! She runs and tells her husband. He's like, well, God, can you send that man back so we can ask him how to raise this kid and what we're supposed to do? And the Lord answered the prayer, and this angel shows back up, and he didn't know it was an angel. And he said, stay here and let's make a kid. And he goes through the thing, kills an animal and all this stuff, and he gets that thing ready. And it said, he wist not that he was an angel. And it said, the angel did wondrously, and that fire that he made to roast that kid up on, the angel did wondrously, and it went up with the smoke of that fire into heaven. And that's how he knew it was an angel. And the book of Hebrews says that their ministering spirit sent forth to minister. Can I tell you, I have gotten such a blessing out of hospitality. We have a guest room. People always come. You need to keep your family safe. You don't put them in the same room with your kids. You need to have wisdom. But maybe you should start by having some people over. Some people and having dinner and having them over. And just learning to be a lover of hospitality. This is not written to preachers. This is written to Christians, and God doesn't want you to forget to do it. And you know what? So strangers are outsiders. So people come into the church and they're outsiders. That they don't know. And you know what you do? You say, Nick, come on over. Have you been there? Got some cookies? Come on over. You want something to eat? And you just love people. And you get to know them. And man, people have gotten saved at my house. People have gotten healing at my house. People have gotten encouraged. I've gotten encouraged. My wife has gotten encouraged. My kids have been helped. I've made lifelong friends. And I'm just telling you, hospitality has been such a blessing to this church and to my family, to my neighbors. I mean, that's how I've started to get to know my neighbors. My neighbor across the street, he said, next week I'm coming over to get a cup of coffee. I have some things I want to talk to you about. And I'm praying about that. I can't wait for that. And then the next day, people, you know, they come in and they get a cup of coffee and then they start hearing about the Lord, and it's just, man, it's tremendous. And so when you say no, you're saying no to a blessing. That's what you're doing. Well, you know, I'm just not that kind of a person. Okay, then become that kind of a person. Because that's what Jesus told you to do. Well, I just don't like it and this, this, and this, and my house isn't set up that way. Okay, then set it up that way. Do you want to obey God or do you not want to obey God? That's all you have to ask. What do I do? Jesus did everything for me. What do I do? Love the brethren and don't be forgetful to entertain strangers. Because if you don't, you're going to miss out on a blessing. And one more verse and we will shut her down. Well, okay. Don't hold me to the one more verse thing. Look at 3 John. 3 John chapter 1. He said in verse 5, and this is the well-beloved Gaius. He said, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have," look at this, "which have borne witness of thy charity before the church." You know what people did? Hey, I was over at Gaius's house the other day, and I got such a blessing over there. He was such a blessing to me. And he's so loving and he's hospitable. They talked about it. "Whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well." That's what your goal is, to bring him forward on their journey after a godly sort. "Because that for his name's sake they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." And so you know what? Paul talked about Gaius. I didn't have the reference. Paul talked about his hospitality. The Apostle John was in Gaius's house. And everybody talked about it. Okay. Okay, here's the other reference we'll turn to, and this is the last one, and you can hold me to this group of verses, okay? Luke chapter 16. And you know the story here. This is the rich man that had a steward, and he's about to fire the steward, okay? And so he's not going to have a place to live. He's about to be fired. And so he said in verse 3, "What shall I do? What am I going to do when I get fired? My Lord taketh away from me my stewardship, my job. I cannot dig." Obviously, he wasn't part of the people making tunnels under our border. He couldn't get a job there. He wasn't a miner. Okay? "I cannot beg. I am ashamed. So here's what I'm going to do." Verse 4. "I am resolved what to do when I am put out of the stewardship. They may receive me into their houses." So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said to the first, "How much do you owe?" And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said, "Take thy bill and sit down and quickly write 50. And he said to another, "How much owest thou?" And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said, "Take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light." So he's like, you know, I'm going to help them. That way, if I get in a pinch, they're going to be able to help me. Okay? And then he says this, "Make yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation." So, what does that mean? Be friends with lost people. Give them the gospel. Help them to get rid of their debt with God. So when you die, they're going to be up there in heaven welcoming you in. make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, you know, wouldn't it be glad to see some people up there that got saved at your dinner table, that heard about the gospel at your dinner table? Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Okay? That's all she wrote. Or that's all I wrote. Well, that's all. It's not all I wrote, but that's all I'm going to teach tonight. Okay? All right, let's pray and we will be dismissed. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the folks that are here. And I pray it would be a blessing. And Father, I know this can be a scary thing for people.